outside. And my guess is that that's the kind of fella who would try to keep you from being embarrassed by any decision that outfit might make. So if you can't take any of the fellas that our crowd would like, well, maybe you might find that fella okay for what you're looking for. Well, my guess is that he would want to do, he'd want to conduct himself in such a way that he wouldn't embarrass a guy to point him. And I think that he made a fine record with every criticism or anything of his service. Symington thinks a lot of him. He always has. And I think he's
where is he from? Missouri now?
He's an Arizona citizen now. Arizona. See, he's a retired Air Force general. He had a fine record in the Air Force. He was very outstanding, and he had an important assignment after he left the White House.
How do you spell it? L-A-N-D-R-A?
L-A-N-D-R-Y, Landry.
I'll look into it.
So I don't know. My thought is he's not committed any side at all, and I'm just confident that he would try to handle himself in such a way that you would not be at all displeased about his conduct. And I think that after all, in the last analysis...
What I've got to do, if I can, is get some fellow that will listen to both sides and be fair and be judicious and not confiscate anybody and still kind of look out for the consumer, too.
I think he'd do exactly that, with the understanding that that's what you want him to do.
Did you get my letter this morning on that I sent up to Wilbur Mills?
Sir, it's over there in my main office.
I want you to read it carefully, because I worked on it myself. I got a note tonight from Mike Mantos that I spent an hour with Vance Hartke, and I hope I could persuade him to modify his position. I am convinced his nose is completely out of joint over what he feels is a slight by someone in the administration, maybe Secretary Fowler. He seems to feel that he should have been the one to be consulted by Fowler, since he is your friend before you ever wrote your State of the Union message. As a consequence, he says that he is now left out, even though he has supported you all along 99% of the time. He pointed out that he saved us several times personally last year himself, and now you just talk to the individual leaders. He says he has no ill feeling towards you, but I really believe the thing that bothered him is Birch by. He's envious of him. Perhaps an opportunity presents itself to have Vance in sometime, you personally.
Well, if you can.
He really ought to be a 100%er. I've not yet succeeded in talking Cindy Gore. The present lineup in the committee, as I see it, is as follows. For your package, Long, Smathers, Anderson, Douglas, Talmadge, McCarthy, Fulbright, Ribicoff, Metcalf. Anderson is not at all happy with the telephone, but he assures me, nevertheless, that he will support you. McCarthy is a bit uneasy, but he says in the end he'll be all right. He wants to ask questions about interest rate increases, but he assures me that you have nothing to worry about from him. Ribicoff wants to look at excises, unquote. He is for the graduated withholding. He indicates that it will not be a problem with him. Since I talked to him, you have seen him, and you probably are updated. Lee Metcalf promises his first act as a new member of finance will be, quote, to reimpose excise taxes, unquote. He asked me not to pay any attention to these newspaper stories, which indicate otherwise. Talmadge has the very same reluctance on telephone excises, particularly since they sent around that he's the one who got them off and had his picture. But he says he will cooperate. That he indicates that's a tentative count at 5:30 this evening.
Right. My thought is that, how does it add up to you there?
He adds up 9.
Yeah.
He has not been able to talk to Gore yet.
Well, I think Gore's going to continue to play hard to get, look for some damn excuse not to go along unless he thinks he's running the whole show. I think that's what we're up against. At least that's what I'm up against with Gore. But I think that we can take care of you in pretty good shape, even in spite of that. But I think that you've about done all you can do, Human Gore. I'd suggest that you do a little bit of Human of Hartke.
Well, now, we had him down here this week. Marvin spent an hour with him. But here's our problem, Russell, now just confidentially, just between you and me. This fellow Janeway, who's a nut, has got control of him. Now, Janeway had a boy who was a very talented boy that worked in my office. And he dictated very good letters. His mother's a novelist and a writer, and he was a smart little Jewish boy that's very, very ambitious, very aggressive, and just barking at everything came along. And we liked him very much. Bobby Baker ran into him and met him, and Bobby liked him. So he promoted Bobby, and Bobby promoted the Senate to move him in on the floor. And he was up at Harvard, and when school was out, why, he wrote Walter Jenkins a letter and said he wanted to come back to work with us this summer. And Walter wrote him and said, "I just can't tell right now. When you come to town, come to see me. And I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'll try to find a place, but I'm just not sure what our situation will be." But he came down here. Bobby got a hold of him, which he shouldn't have done. It was disloyal to us because he's working for me. Told him, said, "If you be my assistant, why, make a lot more for you," and so forth. So he took him. That made me mad as hell. And made Walter Jenkins mad as hell. Made all the office mad as hell. And, of course, made Janeway mad as hell. That we didn't want his boy leaving our office and going over that floor and mess around in the cloakroom and so forth. But pretty soon the boy decided he wanted to write a biography of Lyndon Johnson. So he wanted to get all the books and everything. He got to be a big shot, kind of like Bobby. And so he came to me, and I told him I didn't have any time to get him all this material and go back in my life. Well, anyway, he wrote it anyway. It wasn't worth a damn. But his daddy, who thinks he's the apple of his eye, got a hold of Vance. And the boy works for Vance. So ever since he has, Vance gives out a statement about once a week denouncing us about something. There's something wrong. I've been out to, hell, I was at his daughter's wedding, and I've been out to his home, and I attended everything I could for the Hartkes, and I took him $10,000 to $15,000 when he's running 58. Personally, I went out and made speeches in Indiana for him, and I went all over the damn place, Evansville, on TV for him. I've done everything. I got him on finance committee. First time he got here, nobody could get on it. The first time he's a member. And I want to remind you that night I called you up and you told me you didn't know whether you wanted to get off armed services or not. Thank God, you, good thing you got. I told you you'd never get anywhere with Dick Russell and Harry Bird. Well, Harry Bird dead, but not Dick Russell. Anyway, I can't get over this Janeway. And Janeway writes all of his balance payment stuff and writes all of this damn statements. He made a speech about me today. And he just cuts at us. Fowler says he's totally unreliable, unpredictable. He's a nut in the economy, in the economics group that none of them respect him. They're waiting here now. Gardner Ackley's sitting out here in my outer office to go over the economic report with me. And Marvin Watson, who's the best friend you got in the White House, he's from over there on your border. He had Vance down this week.
He could be a better friend of me than you are, Mr. President.
Well, I know. Well, he's not as good a friend as Johnson, but I mean of the staff. He and Jack Valenti are strong, long men. They love you. But he told me that he just did everything he could. Said Vance said, "Oh, I'm strong for Johnson." But I think what's the matter is, I think it Janeway has got him under his thumb, and he's got reelected, and he wants to be the leader. Now, he got mad because we didn't come up and talk to him about this thing. I told Fowler to go and check with you and check with Willard Mills and check, for God's sakes, with the Speaker and check everybody that he ought to check. But Fowler said if he went further down that committee, the whole damn thing would be out. And
well, he's right about that. But I still think, Mr. President, that it'd be good, though, for you to, I mean, frankly, hello.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think that knowing the kind of salesman you are, if you just give your personality a chance on Hartke a little more, I think that you're...
Well, I had him down here on McKee, and damn, I just pled with him. And I just said, if you help me, and this man's not going to hurt you, and he's a good man. And he just took in and he said, "Well, I'm not going to hurt you." And he went right back up there and just gutted.
Well, you might have been too far committed to back off on the thing, but... one of these days it'll pay off, though, if you can just go the extra mile on this thing. I'm sure it'll pay off. For example, he's a big Harry Truman man, and I, Humphrey, They said, well, it wasn't Humphrey who called. McCarthy decided to call. You say the vice president was calling the president and get you out of bed that night. I'll wake you out of a nice slumber, peaceful slumber. That night, Vance Hartke started all that off by calling Harry Truman. He had a poop at his house, and it wouldn't be a bad idea if you take Hartke. I'd take with you tomorrow if you wanted to. Now, that's just good of your discretion. But,
well, I'm not going to invite anybody but the leaders. I'll get in trouble if I go beyond it, or somebody in his cabinet.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's... Well, that I understand, sir. That tremendous personality you've got is the biggest asset we have in this administration, and that's what pulled us out and pulled us through, when nothing else can. You just got to do a little more missionary work on that. I'll help you, but that fellow ought to be voting with us on more things than he is, and I'll get him with you some of the time, but... I'm going to have to count on you to do some rest of
it. How many Democrats you got on the committee, 11?
Yes, sir.
Well, you lose him, you lose Gore, and you'd be lucky if you hold the others then, won't you? Are you going to lose all the Republicans on
him? I'm not voted. Well, we might get through St. Martin, but that's always a prospect over there. He's about the most statesman like they've got over there. Most statesman like that is, there is over there.
If you don't want to get a whiskey tax, he better go with it.
Well, he's about the best man they've got over there as far as a guy who might cross that party line and give us a vote.
No chance of getting Dirksen?
Well, Dirksen's already announced against the excise taxes. And I guess you heard about the State of the Union. You showed me a draft there before things started all out. So we just might have to tough it through somewhere along the line on those. But I kind of hate to see us on that tenth piece of ice there, where you've got, where if you lose one more vote, you've had it. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's not what we're up against there. And, but of course, Hartke, he's against us.
He made a speech against us today.
If you think you've got nine, I'll get with Mike and we'll count those up, and we'll see if we can't firm them up some to try to be sure to hold on to them. But if we can get out of the committee, I think we might make it on the floor.
What group will be the hardest, your telephone or your car?
My guess is that assuming that neither side makes a real all-out effort to fight us, looks like the telephone people or not. And the automobile people don't either. I mean, if both of them, if one makes no greater effort than the other, my guess is that the telephone will be the toughest, just because it's the kind of thing like Tom, which hadn't had his picture put in the paper. You know, just between us, they were going to put this thing out with Long and Ellen to the congressional delegation taking the tax off, and I stopped that. I kept them from sending that out in Louisiana. They came to me and asked me, and I said, hell no, don't do that now. So, but these guys had that picture put out. You see, the telephone company had this damn fool thing of putting something in every telephone bill that goes out to every telephone user, the public relations thing. And so they have, in a lot of these states, they put this thing out to every telephone user, putting their senator and the congressman's picture on up there bragging about how these people took the tax off you. You got to get this big tax cut starting this month. And it's kind of embarrassing for them. I ought to turn around and run the opposite direction. Thank God I stopped that in Louisiana. Folks won't miss too much, something they've never had.
Well, Vance went and talked to Roland Evans and leaked all this damn stuff to him and said that he was just told about it going in that night and that he hadn't been consulted. So then he got up and made a damn speech.
Well, somebody's got to explain to Vance how, from my point of view, you don't have to consult me to recommend something. My thought is the president proposes, we dispose, and then it's our turn to propose if we want to what we think we'll do. If we can't go along with you, then you dispose of what we do, of what we propose. So, but he's got no business feeling that you've got to discuss what you're going to propose to him any more than he's got to discuss what he's going to propose to you before he suggests something. Otherwise, as you indicated, If you did that with every member of every committee, there's no way on earth that you could keep the whole State of the Union message from being in the press before you ever make it. So I agree with you on that, and I think I can help some with Hartke on that, but on this one, I think that's too far gone to get any help on this tax bill.
I think that's right.
Did have to lay back and play for the next one.
You watch these folks that are kind of loose, like Ribicoff and McCarthy and Anderson.
I think you'll get Clint Anderson. You know how Clint is. He plays hard to get for a while, but the last analysis he usually goes.